When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley here with fellow Illini guy and fellow co-host of the Illini guy Sports Spectacular, Brad Sturdy, and of course our ever faithful director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. We are going to give you the down low on Illinois' 71-66 defeat at the hands of a very game and very tough Maryland team in the Xfinity Center, which is the one Big Ten venue that Brad Underwood has never won a game in. Brad, that was a rough game. It was something I think that the freshmen will learn volumes about. But what are your thoughts? Just off the top of your head, give us one or two things here, and then Kettle will and I will bat it around with you.
No, I didn't think Illinois played very well. They didn't, especially in the first half defensively. I thought they were really bad defensively, to be honest. They lost people in switches, and they didn't know when they were switching, when they weren't switching. They got caught up and weren't in good position. They got hurt leaving guys open off of those. So I really didn't think they played well defensively. And I thought offensively they had times when they were pretty stagnant, didn't get any movement. The one thing Maryland did was they disrupted what Illinois wanted to do. And Illinois used danger and got some good looks there at one point. But at the same time, then at the end of the game, they really struggled to get him the ball and they couldn't adjust. And so they had some bad, I'll be honest with you. They made a lot of really dumb plays, fouls 70 feet from the basket, fouling 3-point shooters. And then offensively getting offensive fouls that are obvious on defense, fouling for no apparent reason. Just grabbing guys and then wondering why they called a foul, which I don't understand. It was obvious. Some of those were obvious fouls. Now, did they get some bad breaks? I thought, obviously bad breaks, Taron Shannon getting hit in the face is a tough break. As you're making that run there. And so they had some tough breaks, but you're on the road in the Big Ten. Calls aren't going to go your way. And I hate that in the Big Ten. I think that's why Big Ten teams lose later on, is because they don't get any benefit and they're on the, it's neutral site games and the NCAA tournament's different. And so I'm not that disappointed with this game in the sense that it doesn't hurt Illinois long-term. It's not a huge loss. Maryland's a good team. I think they're going to be solid. Their starting five is very good. They don't have a lot of depth yet, but so they're a good team. So I'm not disappointed in the loss in that respect, but had Illinois played a good game, had they played well, they would have won. And I think those freshmen got to learn from this game, and that I'm including Dane Danger in that group as a freshman, because he really hasn't played in a road environment. Well, now until tonight. And so I'm Danger and Epps and Clark and Rogers and Harris. They have to be, they have to be better, and they have to make those adjustments, adjust to the atmosphere.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this once and then I'll be done with it. I thought in the first half, the referees were inconsistent to both teams. As a former guy who's played a lot of basketball, I felt sorry for the players, because one time down the court, you could bang into somebody and that's not a foul. The next time down the court, you spit on, you breathe on guy's shoulder as he dribbles past you, and that is a foul. I think in the second half, we saw the typical situation that you see in Big Ten for home teams. The home team's up like 7-1 in fouls. They reached the 7-shot bonus way earlier than the other team. And so Maryland ended up, even though they went from 50% shooting in the first half, Illinois held them to 36 in the second half. Their 3-point shooting was 46% in the first half. Illinois held them down to 25, but all that defense didn't really do much because 12 for 15 from the free throw line really was the difference in the game. And I'm going to say this, and again, Illinois did plenty of bad in the first half or they would have won this game. The Big Ten needs to figure out how you're going to get full-time refs in football and basketball to improve the product. You're getting $1.3 billion with a B. Get some people who are full-time. They're in shape. I don't want to see a bad call at one end and then a bad call on Reese the next time down the court to make up for it. I don't get a thrill out of old guys blowing whistles. I like watching college basketball players play, not sit on the bench and not watch these old guys blow whistles. So getting that out of my system. Ked, what are you thinking in terms of some of the things that Brad brought up?
Well, I love you guys, and this is the only reason why I'm going to be good. It's because I love you, because I'm hot. I am tired. I don't even know what to say. I don't want to start stuttering, spitting. I don't even know what to say because I'm tired of watching Illinois athletics do something stupid. Brad mentioned fouling 50 feet away from the basket. Those are dumb because it reminds me of football. You have a chance to win the game, then you guys out of bounds, and, you know, he's putting his helmet on, then you go kick him or shove him. I'm being sarcastic. They just do Illinois stupid things. That's one thing. But I'm tired of watching officials ruin the game of sports that I love. I love college athletics. I really do. I'm sick of watching guys who can't do their jobs and take games away from kids. This is Illinois' what, 8th game. I've seen every game. I've never seen a game where I can name all 4 situations where players are literally throwing their hands up in the air looking for fouls because they know they're fouls. Okay, the one that we all saw clearly when Colvin Hawkins trying to put a tip in and he grabs his arm. That is a foul. I don't care if you're on the road. I don't care if you're in Egypt. I don't care if you're in Mars. Those are fouls, man. And Brad's right. I've never understood, and Brad, I'm going to give you kudos. I can never understand why the Big Ten struggles in the tournament. And maybe this is why. This is going to be my excuse, and I'm going to hold on to it until they win a national championship, because officiating like this does the teams and coaches no good. I feel bad for the kids because they didn't play great, but you shouldn't have to play 5-on-7. The only thing I'm going to give Maryland credit for, I think they're better athletically than Illinois. I know people they may not want to hear that, and here's why I say it. They took Illinois off the dribble in the first half when they wanted to, at will. They just blew by them at will and shot layups. I mean, I saw it from everybody. It didn't matter. Yeah, there were bad matchups where Coleman was having to guard guards, but he does a pretty good job. I mean, he really does. But I watched our guards and our wings just get beat up and dribble. That's a concern for me. It really and truly is, because I know how much Brad Underwood thrives and how much he preaches on defense. The loss stinks to me. Yes, sir.
Ked, don't you think, like, that was the difference in the second half? I thought they stopped them off the dribble in the second half. They actually sat down and guarded. In the first half, it was like they just thought they weren't going to try and go by them. I mean, it was almost hard to fathom how their mindset totally changed in that second half to where now I'm going to guard people.
Were they expecting, it almost looked to me, and this is going to be kind of an exaggeration, but it almost looked to me like they were expecting help the way Wisconsin does the pack line, you know, where if you get beat, you know, somebody's behind you. And it almost was, I thought they were almost playing tentative, like they didn't know where they were supposed to be. Maybe I'm totally nuts on that, but it definitely didn't look like the same team from half to half.
No, the halftime, Brad's right, the halftime. But here's the thing that I struggle with. You let a team get hot, and then the confidence is there. Yeah, I think the defense is better in the second half. I mean, I really do. But I tell you what, every time they had an open look, I know I'm not the only one who thought the shot was going to go in because they shot the lights out. I think the double teams, I get the fact that you want to make them beat you, but when they knock down a couple shots like that at home, I just think you give the momentum to them. As a shooter, when you if you're shooting and the ball's going in, the rim looks big. We've seen Illinois like that. I mean, and it hell, Terrence Shannon did it against UCLA. So you give them confidence. The second half was much better. And I'll tell you, I was impressed. I mean, Coleman Hawkins, I don't know, guys. I'll tell you, he is the most frustrating guy in the world to figure out because I'm going to tell you, that kid logs a lot of minutes, and he's guarding guards, handling the basketball. I mean, I put on our message boards that he's the one guy on the roster that's a three-star recruit, but I will tell you what, that kid is impressive to me. He's getting better and better, and I love the fact that they're able to, you know, hone in some of his antics and stuff because without him, Illinois would be in trouble. I mean, we're very, very lucky to have a guy like that. He's a special kid, and I'm just – frustrated because I know the kids are mad. You can see it on their faces that they didn't get calls, but I don't know if Thick is going to change. I really don't.
Yeah, I agree with you, kid. I think Coleman's great. In fact, I will tell you right now, you know who I think the best defensive player is in the Big Ten? I think it's Coleman Hawkins. I think he had four blocks tonight. His ability to switch onto everybody is amazing. And you know what? He can be out of position. Now, here's what I think. He's playing too many minutes, so they need to get that kid some rest. And I tonight was rough because Meyer and Epps are both in foul trouble early on and have two fouls quickly, finish with four. They're always, I mean, and I thought that'll Epps never got in the flow. Meyer never got in the flow. And so nope. you couldn't play him. And you know, so you can't play those guys. And Harris did not look, I know people wanted to play more. He's limping around a lot out there.
There's something wrong with that leg, yeah.
I mean, I think it's just sprained. He's got a sprained ankle, and, okay. You know, it's hard to, you know, you don't cut as well, and you're limping. Every time you do something, you feel it, and you just question it. It happens. So you're basically, we're down. When those guys get in foul trouble, you got five guys. I mean, and you know, Ty Rogers, six guys, I guess, counting Ty, but Ty Rogers just didn't look like he belonged out there half the time. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of his issues in the first half, I didn't even look, but I could be crazy, but I thought Rogers really struggled, in this one. But, you know, and that happens. You're a freshman. You're on the road, you know, so I don't know. I just thought he wasn't really, you know, very good. Interesting thing about it, you know, they just when Meyer was on the floor, they were a -7, though. And you know, that's kind of one of those things that happens. You know, he only played what 14 minutes, and you know, Epps was only got 10 minutes. Those are guys, and so you got to play Coleman 39 minutes and Shannon 37 minutes. The only time he came out was when he had to get his head stitched up.
Yeah, I worry about Shannon. You know, I mean, because that's a hard hit. You know, and you hope that there's no concussion like symptoms that'll come of that, because head to head like that, you know, that was actually the type of cut that you end a fight on, you know, yeah. When you know, with a headbutt. And so for folks who are a boxing fan, let's go through a couple things that I saw. I actually was impressed on a couple of statistics.
Can I make a comment really quick? You know,
go ahead.
Real quick. Brad mentioned, you know, but that Coleman needs a break. And I'm going to tell you, next Tuesday when they play Texas, you're going to tell. Because I'm going to tell you, they run. And I think his legs are going to be gone at some point because you know there's going to be practice. And it is a huge concern for me as well. And, Mike, you mentioned Shannon's head. I'll tell you what, his shot, he wasn't even close after that. And maybe there is some – I hope there's not a concussion, but I've not seen him shoot that bad all year.
It's hard to shoot blindfolded, though, kid.
Yes, it is. And with one eye.
One eye and the other one's blindfolded. He looked like a damn pirate out there.
Yeah. Well, Mike Leach. Where's Mike Leach when you need him? A couple stats that I actually was really encouraged by.
Terrence Sparrow.
Exactly. I thought that Maryland played aggressive defense. They were in Illinois faces. Illinois only turned over the ball 12 times tonight. I thought that was good. And then as Maryland, you know, they're a very talented team. Illinois out-rebounded them. Again, I'm not saying they destroyed, you know, set any records, but those two stats, I will, if you would have told me we were going to have less turn or we were going to turn over the ball 12 times, I'm not going to say less turnovers, but if we were going to turn over the ball 12 times, I probably would have said, well, we're going to do better than we did. And if you would have said in conjunction, we're going to out rebound Maryland, I'd have felt pretty good. Brad, any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So here's, so I'm going to, Mike, I'm sorry. I hate to do this to you, but
go
I'm
right
tell
ahead.
You why that. The game was played at 61 possessions. Normally, Illinois plays in the 70s, yep. 74, 75. So when you have 12 turnovers, that's 20% of the possessions. So that's more like normally 15 or 16 turnovers. So it appears like they had fewer turnovers, but they really still had way too many 20. Turnovers. They had too many. And so, you know, that I think that's a concern because – and you know what's really a concern? They turn it over for no reason.
Oh, like, I mean, agree with that. Yeah.
So many of these, the offensive fouls that, by the way, the Melendez charge was just a god awful call.
It was laughable. I mean, I'll be honest with you, the Dane Danger one, no offense, but I can stand in front of a big guy. I can jump in front of a big guy when he's running down the court.
Yeah, and get a foul.
And I mean that was just a pathetic call.
He slid 40 feet after he did it. And then it was like a no brainer. Or the one like I mentioned when Coleman got shoved. I don't know.
Oh, Coleman on that one rebound. He literally got just pushed out of bounds and he went down. He was very upset about it. And I understand why they were, but I agree with you that I thought they, you know, and most of those turnovers came early with, you know, some of the young guys. Sky had, I think, 3 early turnovers. But you know, I'll come in. I thought Sky made some big plays down at the end with the assist and the three.
Yep.
And then they take him out, which
I did not get that at all.
And I guess he's going with, well, Epps is the scorer, right? And we're having trouble penetrating the defense. So we're going to change, but also Sky's a better defender than Epps. So to me, I didn't make a lot of sense to me. And I guess your thought, you know, Epps did get a wide open three. They have a chance to, and you know, honestly, if he probably makes that shot, they probably win.
Yeah.
Because they go up, you know, yep. you know, and it changes everything. But at the same time, I didn't like that substitution. There were a few things that, you know, I didn't like that. I didn't like having Danger in on defense at the end. When you know, here's the thing, when you're in that, they call timeout, you've got a 12 second differential between the shot clock and game clock. So if you get the back, you're not throwing the ball in the post, right? You, in 12 seconds, even if you have the lead, you don't have enough time to set up a play. And if it is to get in the post, you're going to call timeout to set that up.
Exactly.
So you're not going to run in transition and have Dane Danger run the floor. So it didn't make sense to have him in the game. And because you didn't have enough time.
I think he did it. You know, and here's just me being, I'm going to be Matthew Stevens right now for the fans out there. You know why I think he did it? I could be wrong, but the one thing I thought was that they didn't get a lot of loose balls. And I thought you got to have some size out there. You got to get the rebound because I wouldn't have put them out there from a defensive standpoint because you're right. I mean, you talked about the switch earlier. At least we talked about it, you know, prior to the start of the show. My only thought the reason he was out there because you got to get rebounds because 50-50 balls, they were just not going Illinois' way tonight. I could be wrong, but maybe that was my thought.
And that may have been it. But, you know, they put Meyer in, and so they had Meyer.
He's another tall guy.
They had Meyer and Hawkins and Melendez in the game. And they did. They took out. And am I wrong? They didn't. They have. I thought at the end of the game they literally had Shannon, Hawkins, Melendez, Meyer, and Danger on the last possession. So the shortest they wanted to take away Maryland's ability to exploit that switch, which I get. But here's the problem: they're still exploiting the down ball screen coverage that you're playing with Danger. So if you're going to do that, then you still got to switch everything.
Well,
because it defeats the whole purpose of what you're trying to accomplish. So, and that's where I will say this, probably miss a Luke Goody because you could have put Luke Goody in that situation and you could have played more. And then that Ty Rogers being virtually unplayable on offense is part of the problem too, because you can't really, you know, that's part of the problem, but you had timeout. So if you need to call a timeout, you do it. I don't know. I didn't. I'd put Ty in there. Well, I'd have been consent. If you're going to switch all five, put all guys 6'6 to 6'10 and just go with that.
Yes. And I was frustrated. And again, Dane's a young guy, so he doesn't know that. But ultimately, regardless of what Shannon's job is on that last pick, Brad, you talked about how he went underneath versus going over the top. But there was no humanly possible way for a pass to go into the post without a shot clock violation. So Dane needs to know that no matter what happens, he has to hedge that three, and Shannon has to go do everything he can. And Shannon goes underneath. Dane doesn't hedge. It gives him, gives an opportunity for a good shooter to nail a 3-point shot. And again, I'm not saying that you could have stopped him, but you could have made it a lot harder.
Yeah. Here's the other thing on that. You remember the play before they ran a wing ball screen and they attacked him, and Dane didn't show, you know, on that one either. He stayed down. Yep. Okay, fine. That's where you're going to defend it, but he missed the shot. Right. But they got the rebound. Now, if you're playing down ball screen coverage, that means you're in front of the guy. You have got to block him out and get that rebound.
Yes, so exactly.
And I'm not picking, but these are all little things and that tweaks that Illinois can make. And they're going to watch film and they're going to learn a lot. I thought, now on a positive note, I thought RJ Melendez had a great second half, a lot of energy after looking like he was a whip pup in the first half. You know, I mean, just really improved. I thought that Illinois defensively got better in the second half. So, you know, there were some good things, but overall, you know, they made a lot of mistakes and they made a lot of scouting errors. They made, you know, they got beat to loose balls, like Ked mentioned, the effort. And they just, so all those things together, and they made mental mistakes, and you still, you're have a chance. You have the ball with a minute, under a minute to go, and you have the lead with under 2 minutes to go, you know? And so you had your chance and you didn't get it done. But, you know, I also think that's lack of veteran leader. Like last year when they won at Michigan and Michigan State, it was in that situation, it was Trent Frazier. Frazier made those threes, you know, that Jaden Epps missed. And that's not to criticize Jaden Epps. That's because Trent Frazier was a fifth year senior. Jaden Epps is a freshman playing the first road game of the year. They'll get better.
Now the concern I have here, guys, I need you guys to talk me off the ledge. We've seen a couple of years where we thought the Illini 3-point shooting was going to be better than what it actually statistically ended up being. So tonight was another one of those nights. The Illini end up shooting 25% from the three. If they shoot, you know, if they shoot 30% from the three, they probably win this game. They shoot 35, you know, people aren't using Kaopectate and Pepto-Bismol. Is this team a, because I'm worried this team is not as good a three shooting team as we thought they were going to be, and that nights like this on the road in the Big Ten are going, the 25% from the three is going to be more the norm than it is the outlier. Guys, Ked, you can go first. Talk me off this ledge, because I'm a little afraid right now.
I think shooting's contagious, which, you know, which I mentioned earlier. If you look at the roster, other than Matthew Meyer, I think for the most part, they're a good shooting team because he's struggling, but he's going to figure that out. I know Sky Clark was, you know, 0-for-10 from the field the other day, but I do think they're a good shooting team. But the one thing I do like is that if you're not making shots, I do like the fact that you got a guy in Dane Danger that you can go to the post with, because they saw an advantage in, you know, his, I don't like to use the freshman thing, but his inexperience and some of his fouls I thought were kind of that reason, because he's a nice guy to have in the post. He really is. I mean, his footwork is better than Kofi's. I mean, and I'd like somebody to argue and tell me differently. So it's another dimension that they have. What Illinois cannot do is beat themselves. Brad mentioned this again. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't at practice. I don't know what the scouting report was. I know the Scott kid has killed us, you know, since 1979. So to me, I mean, he'd be one guy I would make sure I guard, because you knew he was going to have a career day again. I think it's going to be okay. I think from a shooting standpoint, I think a lot of people are really, you know, looking at the Syracuse game, and that's what that zone is intended to do, is to make you launch a lot of threes. But tonight, I just, you know, it was worse than what it was, because I think a lot of them, shot clock, you know, was running down. Terrence Shannon was not trying to get some late, you know, at the end. If you're a good 35% three-point shooting team, and I think they're shooting 36, 37% on the year, I think they'll be okay. My concern now is, like, you know, Brad mentioned, you got guys logging a lot of minutes, and that's a concern for me. It really, especially like next Tuesday, because Texas runs. So I think shooting wise, I think they're going to be okay.
Brad, talk me out of this. Am I nuts?
No, I don't think you're nuts. I think it's a concern. Here's the thing, and this is the problem we've talked about. I don't think it's that they can't shoot overall. I think it's, you know, Terrence Shannon shot like 3 air balls after he got hit in the face, right? So,
right.
I mean, if you throw those out, it is what it is. But, you know, Meyer has to shoot better, you know, and he has historically shot better than this. So hopefully he figures it out. But you know, I just don't think they have too many guys right now. And this is the concern right now. And with the big guys, right? I mean, like with the look at their future, you got all these guys who want to come and all these things. Like you have Sincere Harris isn't a good shooter. Ty Rogers is not a good shooter. Dane Danger can't shoot. So now if your other guys, if Matthew Meyer's not shooting, there are times you've got 4 guys out on the floor who can't shoot or can shoot but aren't shooting. How about that? When Epps misses, now you add him in there. You had Sky Clark go out of 7. It becomes, as Ken mentioned, it becomes contagious, and there's really nobody to right the ship. Melendez is probably the best shooter, the pure shooter on the team, and he got off to a terrible start this year. Yeah. But now he seems to be, you know, he's 2 out of 3 tonight, so he's starting to figure it out, I think. But you know, Luke Goody is the guy who can right this ship, and they really need him to provide that outside shooting, because when you have a shooter like him on the floor – And, you know, I guess Melendez is up to 36% from 3, shockingly. He's really come on. But, I mean, when you have a guy like Luke Goody out there with RJ Melendez now you've got floor spacing. Because you're not going to leave Terrence Shannon open either. Probably not going to leave, you know, Epps open. So, you know, Terrence Shannon gets downhill. It's going to be hard to stop him if you have shooters around him.
Yep. So, as we kind of close this out and – upset alert, folks, Ohio State may be back in the CFP as Utah just beat USC. So now, you know, Nick Saban is all over the place trying to get his Crimson Tide into the game, or into the CFP, but Ohio State looks like they're in it. But as we go, let's do some closing thoughts as we wrap this up. Ked, you know, you've watched this game. The team didn't quit, and they showed a lot of heart, and there are a lot of young kids who were learning about the road game in the Big Ten. What's your takeaways for folks tonight?
It's a tough loss to watch, to stomach. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. I do believe this is one of the better teams. I see a lot of bright spots. I've seen Coleman Hawkins grow up. Brad stole my thunder. I mean, when you were talking about closing it, the one guy I really want to give kudos to was RJ Melendez. He's really come on. Now he's playing like the guy that we thought he was, you know, that he was going to be. And he just looks really, really good, you know, right now. I think they lost tonight because of defense. Because if you look at the box score, they had guys who scored enough points. You got to get stops. And 50-50 balls, they matter. You know, Robbie Hummel talked about, you know, watching practice today, and Brad Underwood talked about that. You have to get 50-50 balls. And sometimes ball just don't bounce your way. How about the rebound tonight? And we know how good Dan Danger is with, you know, with getting rebounds. And it just hit his hands and fell out of bounds. I mean, there was nobody there. And you saw Underwood. He knew this was one of those games where, like, you know what, we got to make our own luck because that doesn't happen. He started trying to applaud the kids and trying to keep them up. I know a lot of people are looking for some things differently from him and what he's calling and how he's doing matchups. You know, you got guys out there who aren't really good defenders having to play guys that can score. And I think a lot of those things got to be addressed.
Brad? Give you kind of the final countdown on this.
I think, you know, Ked covered it well. I really think they just, you know, they're young. So I'll just add this. I think freshmen get better. Before the season, I think we got all excited. It's what you do, right? Your team's playing well. You had a big win against UCLA. You know, you're routing. You beat Syracuse by 4,000. So you get excited. But you have to understand, before the season, what did we say? This team's going to struggle early. And they're going to get better as the season goes on. They just lost their first. This is their first true road game of the year for basically 5 freshmen. And so that's tough because I'm counting Dane Danger still as a freshman, yep. even because he is technically a freshman, yeah. but he's also never played in a road environment. So this, you got five freshmen out there, first time in a road environment, you know, first time doing this. And so I think they're going to learn and get better. And if we, you know, and you don't have one of your kind of leaders, a guy who's going to help, that glue guy, I think he's going to be that guy. So they're going to get better. We said they're going to get better as the year goes on. They just have to keep doing that. And I thought they got better today from first half to second half. So good job coming back. You bet you Brad Underwood has some great teaching and film review now to go over and say, hey, we got to be better than this. We got to do this better. We got to do that better. Yeah, that's basically the gist of it.
Yeah, and even just the little things like watching the dumb fouls and say, please don't do this anymore. You know, I mean, that's just,
I bet that's not Underwood's. I bet he's not that nice.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, this is a podcast for all ages, Brad. So true. Let's shift gears before we get out of here. Cause I think it would be, irresponsible for us as Illini guys, covering the Big Ten. If USC's loss opens the door for Ohio State to make it into the CFP, that is huge for the Big Ten Conference, and also might help the Illini in terms of the pecking order of bowls. Any thoughts on that, Brad? Because I think the additional funds for getting another team in the CFP just puts more dollars for the Big Ten to potentially hire full-time refs.
Wrong.
Yeah. No, so – yeah, I do agree with the what with your statement. So I think what could happen is Penn State is going to be in the top eight, right? I think, yep. So I think they're going to be in they're going to get that Cotton Bowl game, right? Or perhaps no, I'm sorry, they're going to get the Rose Bowl game, yeah. probably, right? So they're going to get the Rose Bowl, but so I don't know that it moves. But now that Purdue probably still goes to the Citrus, I still think Illinois ends up in Tampa or Nashville. Okay. I still think they're going to end up one of those.
Okay.
Two games, but yeah, it definitely puts more money in the coffers though. Another team making it. I mean, that wasn't as expected. So, and they have a guaranteed money. So I think get a little bit more, it's not a huge amount, but hey, more the merrier, but I think it's great for the conference, especially yes. if they go in Ohio State. And I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound crazy but if there's a team that matches up well with Georgia,
it's Ohio State.
It's Ohio State. Because they can throw the football down the field and make Georgia and force Georgia's going to play man coverage on the outside, and they're going to have to get pressure on Stroud, or he's going to, I mean, they'll score against him. And Georgia has a good offense, but they're not great, you know. Right. So if Ohio State puts up some points, so I think there's a team that matches up there, and then you could have, how about this? Michigan then would play maybe TCU. How about I think Michigan wins that game. By a touchdown, at least, maybe two. And then so I look at, let's go, Ohio State, Michigan.
Now, I will tell you what, it was funny because I do have a friend who's a big-time Ohio State fan. And he told me, he goes, if we win the national title without beating Michigan, he goes, it's okay. but he goes, these people will they'll just put that in our face all year long. And so – I think the one thing an Ohio State fan wants to avoid is Michigan losing to TCU, Ohio State beating Georgia, and then the Michigan fans can say, well, you didn't beat us.
Yep.
Ken, any thoughts on that? By the
way, I don't know if you heard Underwood's presser, just so you know. So we all feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
And the presser, he took blame for having Dane out on the floor and that, because they usually switch everything, and that's why Terrence – when that in late game situations. So
yeah,
and I'll take that, but
they just need us there. They just need us there to help.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when the Illini guy, well, Larry's there. It's Larry's fault. Why isn't Larry helping?
I should have gone. If I'd have gone, they probably win.
So if Josh Whitman or Brad Underwood is listening to this over the weekend, spring for the let Brad ride the airplane for free. You win games when Sturdy shows up. It's the math isn't that hard to do. Ked, any final thoughts from you now that we've thrown football in there?
I don't know. It's hard to top that ending, but I tell you what, maybe the Ohio State fans don't want to, you know, fire their coach after that. I tell you what won't happen, because the NCAA is not going to have Michigan and Ohio State play. They'll do some reason. Somebody's going to jump Ohio State, or there's going to be some reason. It'd be great for the Big Ten and, you know, the money, which we've all talked about. It'd be great to hire some little officials, but I know that's not going to happen either. But I would love to see that. And I'm just thrilled with the fact that Illinois getting into that bowl game situation. And, you know, and I know there's no Purdue fans listening at this, but I'm sorry. I know you're playing for a Big Ten title tomorrow, but I think it should be Illinois. And Illinois is a better team than Purdue, even though they won, allegedly. But I still think Illinois is a better team than it would be. I don't even know what the game is going to be like, but Illinois' defense keeps them in games. And that's why I really wish they would have been them. But we'll see.
Yep, we got a bowl game. So, everybody, please just real quick, IlliniGuys.com, $99 a year. It is a great website. Feel free to go ahead and try that. And if you do it right away, you can get a free sweatshirt for that as well. Great deal. Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is on Fridays and Saturdays across the state of Illinois. Find it on IlliniGuys.com. Hit the radio button. And, of course, we also have Sturdy for 30. And Ked's recruiting roundup for podcasts. Be looking for those. And of course, subscribe to Eye on the Illini. Thank you very much for Illini guy Brad Sturdy and for director of recruiting Kedrick Prince. This is Mike Kegley. Go Illini.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.